across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Brexit is great. I am here for, well, an hour and 45 minutes. I'll be talking for getting paid exactly the same as if it were a three-hour show. My name, Ian Lee. Who that lady?
Catherine Boyle, and I could get used to this.
Taking back control and sticking up the butt. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I tell you what, for the first 45 minutes... I can't invoice them for this.
You can.
Okay, I will. First 45 minutes, we'll take calls straight to air.
We'll give back control to you.
7 second delay. Don't swear, don't be libelous, and please don't be dull. Good evening, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
You missed rule three. It's a very important one. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. The way it works is you phone up. Normally you'd speak to Sam, but Sam's been very, very busy this evening, and so I'm sit back, relax. Instead, you'll phone up. We don't call you back. You'll hear like a little cheeky, it's not cheeky at all. I don't know why I said that. You'll hear a very uncheeky recorded message. And then you'll hear me say, line whatever, you're on the air. When you hear me say that, just say hello, because it could be you, dear listener. You can call in about absolutely anything you want. You don't have to talk about the thingy bob if you don't want to. If you want to, you're welcome to, but you don't have to talk about the thingy bob. We really are the late night alternative. Everybody now will be dissecting what has happened. What has happened is... it's a legal thing. It's like a divorce. You get divorced, but then one day you get a letter through the post going, you're actually divorced now. You go, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, all right, yeah. That's it. That's all that's happened. Nothing has changed. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, line one.
Hello. Bollocks to Brexit.
Thank you very much indeed. I've got to say, the people that won are very, very angry. Very angry. Rach says, you total idiot, there'll be more investment from abroad and more good jobs.
What now?
Okay, I mean, good, that's great news. Let's go to line three. Line three, you're on the wireless.
Okay, now I'll try.
You've got to pay attention to the rules. Don't swear, don't be libelous, don't be dull. It's really simple. Line four, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian and Kath.
Hello, line four.
Hello, Ian and Cal.
Is this a recording?
No.
I think you are. What day is it?
It's Saturday where I am and Friday where you are.
Okay, fine. Oh. This is not a recording. This is an actual live human being.
We're talking across the space-time continuum. That's what it is.
Can we stop for a second? I think I've said too much already. Catherine, why don't you talk to this caller?
Because you're being paid more than me for less work.
What would you like to talk about, caller?
It's Richard, the 50-year-old guy who phoned up last week to say he was doing a stand-up course in Melbourne.
He said he was doing... It's a terrible, terrible...
A stand-up course in Melbourne, remember?
Oh, the stand-up course in Melbourne guy, Richard! Oh, my word! How's it gone?
Yeah. It was brilliant, thanks. Loved it. Learned a lot.
And
they seem to like me.
There you go. And you did a performance at the end of it?
Yeah, Thursday night over here, I did a performance. It
went down really well. Well, here's the thing as well. Stand-up course, you learn more than just kind of the mechanics of doing stand-up. I think you learn a lot about yourself. You learn confidence. You learn where your fear parameters are. It's more than just learning how to write and tell jokes, I think. But do you think it's something you'd like to pursue? Because the world, I've been saying this for so long, the world needs more stand-ups.
Absolutely, and more standard like me, middle-aged white man. Yeah,
middle-aged white man telling jokes. Middle-aged white man, he hates folks.
There just aren't enough of those.
There's not enough of those guys.
No, I loved it. It's a great experience.
Good. I'm really, really pleased. Well done. Congratulations. Thank you, and thanks for sharing that with us. Went to Australia to do a stand-up comedy course. I mean, they do them in North London, but buys the by. What line was that, four or five?
Don't know.
Okay, well, then we'll go to line five. Good evening, line five.
Life with the amoebas, no one can see us because we're small. We're very, very, very small. Mum is dad and this baby. We're a one-cell family. We're on your television set.
Okay, you knew that song.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know that song.
I think it's from a kids' TV program.
I imagined it was, but I didn't know it.
Well, I did.
Okay. I was hoping
it went more like this. Life with the amoebas, you can't see us because we're small. There's mum, dad and the baby. We're a one-cell family. He didn't really sing it though, did he?
By the way, listen, if you won, congratulations. Don't gloat. If you lost, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. We're still having a laugh, aren't we? Aren't we? Aren't we, line six? You're on the wireless. Too windy, too windy. I learnt a lot. We had David Babcock doing a bit of the show the other day.
Mm.
And I liked his balls. I really liked his balls. Someone phoned up pretending they wanted to talk about gender. And David Babcock said, no, you don't. And you're boring. Go to bed. So I haven't been that direct since I first started at LBC.
That's precisely the northern surliness you tell me off for.
Well, because let's go to line one. One, you're on the wireless.
This is the hard Brexit anthem with me, MC Pagstar.
Yes, man. Friday night. Woo.
Hard Brexit, other MCs here can't ever test it before direct and ever so nifty. You will get triggered like arsehole pisty.
Here we go. This is a banging Friday night. It's banging. The reason I thought we'd do straight to air is A, because I'm lazy. B, because people are feeling weird. It's weird. It's weird. Some people are really, really excited and happy. Some people are really, really sad and depressed.
A lot of people are still really angry.
A lot of people on both sides are angry.
Mm-hmm.
The people that... Some of the people are angry that won. Some of the people that won are angry. Some of the people that lost are angry. I genuinely... I'm not that bothered. I've kind of been thinking, why am I not that bothered? I voted Remain. We didn't win. For a while, it looked like we might get another referendum. For a long time, I've been saying, well, we should probably do it. You know, we should probably leave. People voted for it. I'm not really that bothered. Mm-hmm. Catherine, whereabouts do you... I believe you have a similar...
Yeah.
...to me.
I mean, the people in charge aren't the people I would have picked. I've got to suck that one up, so...
Have you? So here's the thing. If you won, that's great. Don't gloat. If you lost, that's all right. We'll have a laugh. Don't be mean. Let's just get on and have a laugh. We can still have fun. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Barnaby the Bear's my name. Never call me Jack or Jane. I'm on my way to fame. Barnaby the Bear's my name.
And also, straight to air, great. Thank you, line one. Because when people are in a weird mood, when it's a full moon, or there's been a major incident, you know, like a tragedy, or like a huge sporting victory, people's brains just go a little bit funny. They feel like they want to express themselves, but they don't necessarily know how to express themselves. So straight to air is great, because I don't need to know your name, don't need to know where you're from, you don't have to have a sensible point to make. You don't have to add something to the discussion that's been missed so far. You don't have to do that. Five Live, you'll have to do that. Oh, my God, imagine the state of LBC right now. But here, right now, on talk radio, for the next hour and a half, you can just let it out in any way you see fit. If you want to talk about what's happened, you know what? You can. We're not going to block it. It's a big thing. Maybe you want to phone up and celebrate. Maybe you want to phone up and commiserate. Maybe you want to be like me and go, whatever.
Just whatever you do, don't be boring about it.
Do not be boring. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Line three, you're on the wireless. Hello? Hello? No, line three. Okay, sometimes... Well, at least the phones seem to be consistently... working, which is not what they were doing before. Let's try line four.
From Willie Sail right to our
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, fine. Well, I think the batteries ran out. You look disappointed.
I mean, as mashups go, wasn't the smoothest.
It's Friday. I had a great afternoon with my boys. Picked them up from school. Saw one of them playing sports. Picked them up from school. Took them out for a KFC. Second KFC they've ever had. And we had a laugh. And I was really famous in the KFC. There were some schoolgirls banging on the window. Can we have a picture? And I went, yeah, of course you can. But so they started to do a selfie through the window. And I went, oh, no, I'll come out. I'll come out and have a picture with you. And then there were some other schoolgirls that recognised me and giggled. Then the woman inside went, are you in the jungle? I said, yes. She went, you're a politician, aren't you? I went, yeah, sure.
Politician.
I said, how dare you? How dare you? And then we did a little bit of stuff on the computer. My boy, my 10-year-old's learning to edit on the computer. And then we played this really funny video game. I've got to try and remember the title of it. Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Ian, Kath, they're launching fireworks where I live. I'm scared. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. They can be very, very scary, the fireworks, but they cannot, if you stay indoors, they cannot hurt you unless they smash through a window and kill you. That could, or they get stuck in your back door and they burn your house
or
down.
Or they come down your chimney.
So actually, probably sensible to be scared. I would surround yourself with buckets of water and sand would be my thing. Let's go to line 2. 2, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. How are you tonight?
I'm on top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you, Line 2, have been around. Your love has put me on the top of the world.
Well, that's really good to hear, Ian.
Thank you, mate.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
What I want to talk about tonight is fireworks. I've been mugged off tonight, properly mugged off.
Uh-oh.
Let off 4 fireworks after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Bloody police came round.
Yep.
UK law, yep. Not allowed to let off fireworks.
Well,
I think we should take back control from the UK law.
Right? Hang on a minute, you want a Brexit
I've
from...
I've had enough of this.
He wants to Brenta.
I've been totally mugged off.
So what are we going to do, my friend? How do we change this?
I want a referendum right now. I want Boris Johnson to commit to this because it's bloody awful.
So you want a referendum on fireworks? On fireworks? Or going back into Europe?
Sorry, I cracked then.
It's upsetting. I know, you must be... Fireworks are so damn expensive.
Emotional, yeah.
So do you want a referendum on fireworks or going back into Europe?
No, I want to sort out these UK bureaucrats taking over our lives, right?
Thank you very much.
It's the high-pitched laugh that goes with it. Such a deep voice.
Oh, my God, this is going to be a hell of a show. I wish we could reverse the last bit. If you've got a blank tape, put it in the cassette player now and press record, dear listener, because this is going to be one to keep. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Cat's gone for a slash. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We're going straight to air. Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing your last whistle, bark, bumble, give a whistle.
Sounds like someone's been murdered in the background. Jesus! This is awful! I'd rather have the Farage speech playing than this! That's animal cruelty, and that's something we will not condone on the late night alternative. We will not condone that. Animal cruelty is a no-no! A no-no! A 9-9! 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Straight to air is good because you can be who you want to be. You can be anonymous. You can phone up and make silly noises. And it's weird. It's a weird vibe. There's a strange... it's a strange vibe. It's a weird thing. You know, so... I hope you are listening. I hope you're listening. Because I know a lot of you a lot of our listeners would have tuned in at 10, heard that we weren't on, thought that we weren't coming on, and maybe naffed off somewhere. But we will sit here until 1 o'clock, till Martin Kellner comes in, and we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's that simple. It can be heavy, it can be light, it can be daft, it can be silly, it can be fun. So this game I was playing. It's playing on the Xbox. I might need some help with this, Sam. It's really stupid. The graphics aren't great. And you're like these sort of rubbery people and you have to fight. You're like these rubbery dudes. It's called like Gang Beasts. Have you played it? Isn't it ridiculous?
It's just bizarre.
I don't know how to play it, though. So I'm playing it with my kids. And you're like these sort of jelly people. And you can pick people up. But then you can't throw them. But you can kind of headbutt them. And you've got to throw them off buildings and things.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's funny, though. It's a Gang Beast. All right, is it quite a new game?
No, I think it's been out for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's one of those that... Well, it might only have been out a couple of years because I think it was in early access for quite a while.
Right, okay.
But, yeah.
I might have to get... We would play... You should get it for the girls.
Well, it's like,
I haven't got an Xbox. Played,
have you seen Human Fall Flat? It's pretty much the same thing, but instead of fighting, it's that you walk around the level and you've got to help each other out.
I couldn't do that. It was too... I tried it on the Switch. It was too complicated. I'm not you can get it on PlayStation as well, Catherine.
Oh.
And I think you should get it because it's funny. And me and the boys just howling with laughter. And then we'd like to, me and one of the boys would team up with against the other boy. And then it would be like, I'm holding you, Daddy. I'm holding you. I let you go, Daddy. It's funny, man. Video games. Because I play a lot of Call of Duty and stuff. But video games where you're playing with people in the same room and you laugh. You just laugh. It's good fun. Isn't it line one?
Ian, I've phoned up for your forgiveness. I came on your show about a year ago and I wasn't very honest and I lied. And I've phoned up for your forgiveness. Will you forgive me?
I don't know what the lie was.
Well, you did a game guessing the colours of dustbins in different regions throughout the UK.
Yeah.
And I came up with a weird one like aubergine and you said, how on earth did you get that? I did lie. I did cheat. And I want to get your forgiveness, please.
Right, okay. My initial reaction is to say no, okay? Ooh. But I am a better human being than that. I tend not to go with my initial knee-jerk reaction, okay? Because that is generally wrong.
Thank you.
It's based on emotion and not on intellect. So we go to my second reaction. Now, I've had time to process it and think about it. And the answer is still no, you absolute scumbag! Get out of here, you piece of trash! Well, I remember that game.
The brass neck of the man.
Absolute! What a scumbag!
Do you know what hurts the most?
Mm.
I trusted him.
That disgusts me. This disgusts me. This show is based on honesty and on trust. And without either of those things, this show is just pebbles and dust in the midnight sun. So, no! Never call me again, you... Tell you what, call me in a year. Call me in a year and we'll chat then.
I know,
Catherine, but I'm a better man than you, Gunga Din. Who is Gunga Din?
I think the servant.
Oh, really?
And... He was a better man.
Gunga Din was
Gunga Din was the better man.
I'm a better man than Gunga Din.
No.
Well, he's dead, so I'm winning. I'm winning that. 1-0. 1-0. Me versus Gunga Din. 1-0. Give me another category. Me versus Gunga Din.
Being called Gunga Din.
1-1. Okay. Fair play. Credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. Okay. Give me another category.
Having a name that rhymes with Munga Min.
2-1 in his favour. We're going to stop this game because actually I think it's racist. I think Catherine's being racist and I will not allow that. Not on my... We've had... So far on tonight's show, 35 minutes in, we've had animal cruelty and racialism. It's Sounds like a winner to me. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. By the way, a few people on Twitter going, I don't want to phone in with something heavy. Phone in with whatever you want. I'm rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling, Barbara Ann, right this very second. But we, you know how this show works. We can top and tail any time you want. We're based on clunky gear changes, aren't we? Line four.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hello.
I think a possible cause of cancer might be an irregularly operating pituitary gland.
Is this a call from the Cancer Research Lab?
You just got the results back from the experiments you've been conducting. I don't know what a pituitary gland is.
It's the hormone that governs growth in the body.
Okay.
If it doesn't, all the people I know who've died of cancer had features about them that were not.
I'm not laughing at those that you've lost, but I would not do such a thing.
No. Uneven growth characteristics.
I'm laughing at the sheer bollocks you're spouting right now, sir. But
okay.
Yeah, but I know loads of people. I don't know loads. I know a handful of people that have died of cancer that didn't have growth defects.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to... I feel we just shot down that guy's eureka moment in flames, and maybe that was cruel of us.
But we haven't seen his data.
Line five, you're on the wireless.
How you doing, Ian?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, man, what's going on? Listen, before I allow you on my show, you must answer three questions. Do you accept the challenge?
I do.
Number one, what did you have for your tea tonight?
Where's that?
What did you have for your tea tonight?
Sorry, I can't end that.
What did you have for your tea tonight?
Nothing.
Question two.
Yeah, so.
Question two. What was the first CD that you bought?
Iron Maiden.
Question three. What is your favourite biscuit?
A Jaffa cake.
I'm afraid a Jaffa cake's a cake, it's not a biscuit. We can't get to your point. Sorry about that. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Someone, a guy called Brian Robinson, has just posted on my Facebook page. I can say his name because he's posted it publicly, and I've just looked at his Twitter feed, and he retweets Mike Graham and talks about Big Pharma and salutes Sir Nige. This is from Brian, 16 minutes ago. What an attention-seeking twat you are, Ian.
Gosh.
You interrupt, you browbeat callers, and you sound as though you're taking amphetamines. How does the feminine...
Oh, hang on, I like this
and
bit.
Intelligent Catherine put up with you. I'd love to eat... No, I guess she knows more about you than I do. I'm listening to your Tigger-like noisy twattishness live for the last time. Grow up. Get help. Here's the thing. Catherine, who's the best character in Winnie the Pooh?
Tigger.
Thank you. And also, people say grow up like an insult.
Grow up?
No, I won't. I won't. I've spent a wicked afternoon with an 8 and a 10-year-old. I'm not growing up.
Also, Brian, can I just put a feminine intelligent point to you? Who's listening to who now?
And Brian is still listening. Now Brian's got a dilemma, right?
You're giving his attention.
Brian's got a dilemma, right? Because he wants to reply, okay? But if he replies on my Facebook page, then that tells me that he's definitely listening, right? Yeah. And if he doesn't reply, well, then there's a chance that he's not listening. We know he is listening, mm-hmm. Right? Is he going to reply? Or is he going to pretend he's not listening and not reply? Brian Robinson, it's over to you.
And also, yes, I do know more about Ian than you do. I know more about Ian than most people do.
We're mates. Line one, you're on the wireless. Thank you very much indeed. No more
French
of that.
Fighting dogs.
No more of that filth. Imagine them humping that princess, though.
She's a cat.
I don't have a problem with that because I don't see...
Wasn't she?
No, she
one
was
of them was. Milady was a cat, wasn't she?
No, she was a dog. Well, we all know that that dogs are male and cats are female. That goes without saying. I don't have a problem with mixed race relationships.
Can you get a dog-cat cross? Because that would answer an age-old problem, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it's called a cog. Right, let's go. You know that. Let's go to line two. Two, you're on the wireless.
How do?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
What you got for us?
Oh, it's still a bit windy. I apologise.
Okay, well, let's get to the point as quickly as we can. And if the wind gets too much, no, I will cut you off.
It was just more for the fact of the British government deciding that because the first votes counted are in Sunderland, that they did a thing in Sunderland.
I thought that was a nice touch. I thought that was a nice touch. They did like a sort of like a parliament in Sunderland because they voted leave first. I thought that was a nice touch.
It was to a degree, but then obviously Sunderland are always the first ones to get the results in, whether it's
Sunderland are great. Sunderland is efficient. In fact, we should all move to Sunderland. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Oh, for heaven's sake, no! I am close to Sunderland, and it's not a pleasant place.
Oh, listen to Pablo dissing. How dare you diss a region? People live there. People love there. People make love there. People work there. People strive to improve their lives there. Don't be so snobbish. You're the liberal elite that I've read so much about in my right-wing papers.
I tried to explain to James Whale earlier that people who are in the North East aren't automatically Brexit-based.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Right, everybody who says that Kathy's quiet, Simsy and Paul, what are you listening on, please? What are you listening on?
Why, do you think I'm being censored on some outlets?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
I do. In the same way that Boris Johnson won't allow certain newspapers to his press conferences, certain streaming formats will not broadcast your annoying voice. Shirley!
Oh, hi. Oh, sorry, there's an echo. There's an echo on the phone. Can you still hear it?
I can hear you absolutely fine, Shirley. Hang on, let me just try and move you. Sometimes this fixes it, sometimes this doesn't fix it. So I'm just going to switch you over to that line. Oh, man, what's going on with the phones today? Is that any better?
Yeah, it's not you. It's still echoey. I think the government's listening to this phone.
Well, as long as someone's listening.
I didn't phone up to tell you that, but just to say, they are listening. I'll tell you quickly because it's getting on my nerves, person who's listening at the other end. The BBC, I'll tell you quickly, the BBC were having a conference in Spain or wherever it was on the weather, you know, this weather thing, and the weather's bad. And here in Birmingham, if you go outside, the government's shameless. You can see the drones spraying chemicals.
We have spoken before, Shirley, of course. You think that the government are controlling the weather via drones?
Well, in Birmingham has been declared a European Union experimental weather-changing area.
Where is that? So I can look that up.
I don't know the publication I saw it in, but you can just physically go outside, and they're shameless, absolutely shameless. So when the BBC said, oh, we're holding the conference, you know, Spain, and there's a climate change thing, I phoned them up and I said, oh, well, just don't bother, open your eyes, in this area anyway.
I don't know, Shirley, I'm going to put my cards on the table. I don't know how to handle, I don't know how to deal with this phone call. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we'd have had a right old laugh now. We'd have had a right old laugh and we'd all be snickering behind our hands. But now I'm 46, what I'm hearing is paranoia and mental illness of the highest extreme, because what you're saying, and why would you believe me, but what you're saying is simply not true.
Well, that's fine. So they are listening.
They're not. What makes you think the government are listening to you?
Well, on the, whenever I make a phone call, it doesn't matter who I phone, I can hear them on the other end. This is part of this echo. I know it sounds like mental illness, and that's fair enough.
It sounds like paranoia, because I can assure you, yeah. It is simply not true.
But the drones are not true.
I know Birmingham very, very well. The drones are not.
Yeah. That's okay. But let me tell you about the age of consent.
Shirley, I don't know if I want to hear about that from you, because you've been factually way off the mark on two really, really important things, and so I've instantly discredited anything else that comes out of your mouth. Yeah,
let me just say that years ago, you left school before 16.
Yes.
That's probably why the age of consent was lower. Do you see what I mean? Because the age of consent tended to be pegged when you left school.
Okay.
So the age of...
Well, we're kind of guessing it. I don't know. I mean, it was very common in Victorian times to have sex with 11-year-olds. I mean, so I don't know.
I'm saying it was right. I'm saying this is probably why the pattern developed. Because... Oh. If you look at Bill Wyman, he had sex with a younger girl. Was she called Mandy Smith?
I have to say, he would claim that they didn't have sex, but they certainly had. He certainly went out with her when she was, I think, 13. They were very, very close. He would claim they didn't have sex until she was of consent.
Well, that's fine, but she's written a book, and you can Google this, called "Abused" by Mandy Smith, and you can put her story.
I would like to read that.
But I do think that. People had sex below 16 because it was pegged more to the age you left school. So
I don't really know. I don't really know what to do with that information. But thank you.
I'm not saying it's right.
No. I know you're not.
So now we leave school at 16. The age of consent is 16.
Well, I think it's been 16. I don't know when it became 16 in this country. Because, Kath, when was the age of consent in the UK? Changed to 16, and what was it before that? If you can find it, because I don't remember. My dad left school when he was 14.
Yeah, my mum did.
This doesn't actually add anything to the conversation. This doesn't take us anywhere.
No, I'm saying that's why.
Yes?
You had this pattern of blokes going with younger girls, and especially pop stars, because back in time. There's loads of stories that can go with younger girls.
All right.
Not right.
The age of consent, as decided in 1885, remains essentially in place for girls at 16 years, despite its lack of relevance to contemporary concerns such as child sex abuse and teenage pregnancy.
Shirley, thank you very much indeed.
I found out about France. They haven't got any age of consent at the moment.
499-1000. They don't, but they have something, because there was a case recently of a man in his 40s having sex with a...
and they were looking to move it as a result and have 15 as the age of consent. Right. But I found this, The Independent.
What a start to the week, guys, huh?
May 2018.
Yeah.
France has stopped short of setting a legal age of sexual consent following a heated debate in the National Assembly. While the lower house voted on a bill to toughen laws on the rape of children, lawmakers voted against setting at 15 the minimum age at which a minor cannot consent to a sexual relationship with an adult. As a result, there is still no law establishing a legal age of sexual consent in France.
Insane. I mean, that's insane.
The bill makes sex between an adult and a minor under 15 illegal, but accepts the possibility that a minor is capable of consenting to sex. Oi.
Ewan!
Hi.
Hey, Ewan. How you doing, man?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath.
Hey.
Is this Ewan?
Yeah.
Yes, my friend. It's our friend Ewan.
Yeah.
How's things going, man?
Things haven't been going too great.
Talk to me, man. Tell me what's going on. I mean, I kind of know a little bit because we've been texting each other, but I will not share anything that we have spoken about. You decide how much or how little you want to share.
Basically, the last few days I've been drinking pretty heavily and not feeling great, to be honest. I just wanted to reach out.
I I really appreciate you being honest with me. As I said in the text, when you told me that you've been drinking the other day, you weren't able to stop.
Yeah, I felt kind of locked in for the drinking again.
Yeah, like, so you thought you'd have another drink because you were full of shame about drinking, so you might as well go out in style.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it, man. How long were you sober for before you picked up a drink again?
When we spoke, I was 9 months sober.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm quite confused at the moment.
I know you are. Of course you are. But when we spoke the first, for those who don't remember, Ewan phoned up a few weeks ago struggling with booze, and I gave him my phone number, and we've been WhatsApping each other on and off for the past few weeks. Do you remember from that night until you started drinking at the weekend, how long was that? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that, wasn't it? About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Of being sober.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I hope that doesn't sound patronising, because that's genuinely brilliant. That's an amazing achievement. So two amazing things I'm getting from this phone call. One is, you had 3 weeks sober. And from what I could tell, from what you were telling me, you're actually enjoying it. And you texted me at the weekend, and you're phoning me up now to say that you've had a drink. Instead of sitting on it for a week, for a month, and lying, or just going quiet, or just disappearing, or doing whatever you might have done in the past, you've grassed yourself up. That fills me with pride and with hope and with love. It means you're going in the right direction, my friend.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're going in the right direction. You told me. You're telling Catherine. Mm-hmm. You're telling the listeners. You told us. That's incredible. Now just stop drinking again and start again. Start being sober again. That's all you've got to do. All you've got to do is stop drinking and not drink tomorrow. You had a drink today, right?
Yeah. You know, I bumped into someone that from AA. Earlier today, and I just told her, I've been drinking the weekend, and she hugged me, and
that's it.
And she was someone that, in my first meeting, she reached out to me and put her hand on me and said, "That's great that you did that," because I shared that day.
Isn't it funny? When I relapsed, I was so ashamed. And the thought of telling people that, oh God, after 13 years, I've done drugs. And no one laughed. No one went, oh, Jesus. All I got was hugs. All I got was hugs. All I got was welcome back. Thanks for telling us. Here's my phone number. You got this, man. It's all I got. It's all I got. And it took me 3 months of using and in the end, I was swamped with love that I couldn't pick up anymore. Here's the thing, Ewan, right? I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. Okay? I love the fact that you've told me and Catherine and the listeners tonight what you've done. You must do everything you can to avoid getting swallowed up in the shame and the self-loathing, because that's what will cause you to have another drink, okay? You have nothing to be ashamed of, and you are a good man, and I love you. All you've got to do is, my suggestion, is go to bed now.
Yeah.
Get to a meeting tomorrow. Don't have a drink tomorrow. Do not have a drink tomorrow. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm planning to do. I'm sorry for phoning up.
You have nothing to apologise for. Absolutely. I know why you're saying that, but you have absolutely nothing to apologise for at all, right? At all. If I didn't want you on air talking about this, I'd tell Amy not to put you on, right? And I haven't done that, and I won't do that ever, right? So you have nothing to apologise for. Because also, what you're doing is you're helping me stay sober by sharing this with me. You're helping remind me how powerful and cunning and baffling this disease is. You're helping other people listening to this be aware of whether they're alcoholics or not, how insidious this disease is. You're helping a lot of people by sharing this in a public forum. Have you got any more booze in the house? And be honest with me.
I think I have about a quarter of the... I think about a third of...
What is it? Vodka? Beer? Wine?
Vodka.
So you've got about half a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more than that. Do me a favour, pour it away. I'm not going to make you do it on the phone, because I know that's not great. Pour it away. You don't need that tonight, man. Just do it. As soon as this phone call's finished, without even thinking, just go and pour it away.
You know...
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry. I've got a little dumb button for we can allow an emotional effort when you're like this. Go on. What were you going to say without the F-bomb?
I'm pouring it away right now.
I can hear it.
I love you. I love you, man. I love you, Ewan. You are so brave. Jesus, you're brave. What an inspiration to me.
That's it. Pour it away and,
go to bed. Go and have some water, go and have a bath or a shower or whatever it is you need to do to freshen up a little bit. Go to bed. We start again tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be great. I mean, you're going to feel it a bit, but tomorrow's going to be great. Is there a meeting on a Tuesday you can get to?
Yeah.
Yes, man. Then do it. Here's the thing. Hey, come on, man. You got this. We got this. I love you, Ewan.
Thank you.
I love you. I'm not judging you. Catherine's not judging you.
Absolutely not.
Catherine has seen me in this state. Catherine has seen me in the state you're in. And I hated myself, man. I hated myself. I thought, I can never get this. I'm never going to get clean again. I'm never going to be able to get rid of this. I've had Catherine on the phone telling me to put cocaine down the toilet. So we get it, man. But you can do this. Next month, I'm 2 years clean and sober again.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I've not made it yet. And it might all go wrong tomorrow. It won't go wrong today. I'm not having a drug or a drink tonight. It might go wrong tomorrow, but I'm going to face tomorrow when I wake up. Right? So all we can do. You've got this, man. I've so enjoyed your WhatsApp messages, because I write these little, hey man, hope everything's okay. And you write me these really lovely, long, beautiful, detailed accounts of what's going on. And I love it. It's a joy. Every time your name pops up, it's a joy.
You know, I was worried about that because, frankly, you know, it really moved me, our call a few weeks ago. And, and I just thought, no, Ian, don't give your
phone. I don't give the number to anybody.
Yeah,
I've got friends who don't have my phone number because I'm so protective of it.
But it really moved me to get into AA. That's what moved me to get into AA, and
you felt that AA was making a difference, right?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. Go back tomorrow. Start again tomorrow, and tell them, and tell them, and tell them. We can't do this unless we're 100% honest. And honesty is a really tough thing for addicts and alcoholics because our whole life is centered on lies and deception and isolation and privacy, right? So you have to go in there and you have to tell them what you've just told me. And tomorrow is day one.
Yeah.
You've got this, man. I know you have. Would you mind if, what am I doing tomorrow? I've got a meeting tomorrow, 12:30 till 1:30. Would you mind if I gave you a call on the way back from my meeting, maybe about 1:45 or something?
Oh, you don't have to do that.
No, I don't, but it helps me. This is what it took me a long time to learn. And you, by the way, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it. If you can't or you don't want to, it's cool. But by me phoning you up, it's not completely altruistic. It helps me.
Jesus.
Would you mind if I made that phone call with the proviso that you don't have to answer it if you don't want to?
You know, yeah. This is like, sorry, it's just a bit deja vu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. And we might have a few, but deja vu, it happens. It's a very repetitive lifestyle, that of the alcoholic. It's repetitive and it's dull and it's killing us. And you're inspiring me, Ewan, and I mean it. I love you. You poured that away. I'm blown away by that. Get yourself clean. I mean, physically clean, as having a wash or whatever it is you need to do just to kind of freshen up and get rid of that kind of fug of booze. Get to bed. Yeah. If you can't sleep, then put a movie on or something. But just, not Goodfellas or anything like that. But just do something. Goodfellas is a terrible. I tried to watch that when I first was getting clean. Jesus. But do whatever is healthy for you. I don't know. Maybe it's going for a walk at midnight. I don't know. But just look after yourself. All you've got to do is get to sleep tonight. Tomorrow you start again.
No. Yeah.
Yeah?
No, you're right. I don't have any booze now, and thank you.
No, man, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll speak tomorrow, possibly. I will certainly call you. I will not be offended if you don't answer the phone, okay? I promise you.
All right. You and Kat, take care.
Thank you, man.
So much.
Get some sleep, Ewan, and we'll speak later. Take care, brother.
All right.
Bye-bye. What a nice guy. What a brave guy sharing that, man. Imagine phoning up and sharing that. That takes balls.
But also, like you say, it gives us hope because he didn't have to dob himself in.
Of course not.
That shows that part of him is fighting back.
I was so proud when he sent me a tweet the weekend. It's Saturday. I've drunk. I'm really sorry. I was disappointedly drunk. Of course I was. But I was prouder and more pleased that he told me.
Here's the thing, right? Like with what happened with you. Disappointed and frightened for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm disappointed for him.
Yeah.
But I also know that, you know, you have to, it's work. It is work. And, you know, sometimes you have to fall down to propel yourself forward again.
And also, I've seen the messages he sent me in the last 3 weeks when he's sober. He's going the right way. He's going the right way. He's going the right way. And also, me phoning him up isn't altruistic. It helps me. Helps remind me why I'm doing this.
That honesty as well. Grassing yourself up can make the difference between a blip and a relapse.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good man, Ewan. And he's got it. He's got it. He's got it now. Pouring that drink away.
Oh. Yeah, but you know what that does? And you know what that does? It stops it calling to you.
Of course it does. You made me throw cocaine away and I'm like...
I know.
I don't want to throw it away. I don't want to throw it away. But
you sent me a picture of it down the toilet.
He did it. Thank you for that. Maybe I did thank you for it.
Don't
I don't
matter.
Know. But thank you for that. Thank you for
you
that.
You would do it for me.
I would. Of course I would. Thank you, Ewan. I love you, man. And you got this. You got this. And if anybody... Can we get the number for AA? If anybody is struggling with booze, AA... I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous because cocaine was my problem. We talk about this a lot. I know some of you might be bored. Tough. But I'm just going pretty much... I went to NA tonight, but I'm going to AA a lot at the moment. And if you've got a problem or you think you've got a problem or maybe one of your mates has got a problem, the number for AA is...
It's a free national helpline, 0800-917-7650.
Do it again?
0800-917-7650.
Oh, just Google it, you lushes!
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
People are idiots.
Which people?
On Twitter.
Oh,
ask for songs better than living on a prayer by Jonathan Bonathan Jovathon.
John Bon Jonathan?
Yes, John Bonathan. Harrison says Daydream Believer, close but no cigar. Close but no cigar. Gigalerts says raindrops keep falling on my head. That's very close to a blocking. Good suggestion. Well, Krista says Sweet Caroline. Sophie is not suggesting a song better than Living on a Prayer. She's suggesting the second best song is Don't Stop. Well, I've not heard of a song called Don't Stop Believing. I've heard of a song called Don't Stop Believing, by Journey. So that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. What about You Gotta Have Faith, the Faith, the Faith?
Oh, that doesn't come in the top 1,000. That doesn't even come in the top 1,000. Mm. Can I sing to you?
I really wish you wouldn't. Can you just tell me what I should Google when I get home?
I want to sing to you.
I find it really off-putting because you do actions and there's eye contact and it's weird.
Here's the thing. I haven't sung to you for a while. Right?
No.
And we talked earlier on about how you had saved my life. You saved my life. And if we were Native Americans right now, remind me to talk about Uncut Gems. No spoilers. Uncut Gems, no spoilers.
I know what you're going to say. If we were Native Americans, you'd have to follow me around until you can save my life.
Yeah, you own me. You own me. B-word, we would say.
I free you.
You can't. You don't have the power to do that. So I would like to dedicate this song to you.
No, don't.
This is how I feel. It's just how I feel. That's all it is. About you, Catherine.
Oh, God.
Us being together is always a very big deal to me. Us together again. Together again. It took me ages to learn how to do vibrato on my voice.
You just squeeze your head up.
No, I didn't do that. I was doing technique. So that's a little song I wrote earlier on today that describes how I feel about you.
Okay.
And I thought it could be the theme tune to the show and that we'd start every show with me singing that to you every hour.
Not necessary. Let's keep it special.
Okay.
Let's keep it special.
Well, I tell you what. Let's try it for a month.
No.
Let's try it for the romantic month of February.
And then
1st of March, March 1.
No.
March 1. We will sit down and we will discuss how it went. I think this could be the anthem that the world is waiting for. I'll do it again now if you want.
No, seriously.
Are you sure?
Yeah, let's just keep it special in our memories.
Okay, we'll do it tomorrow.
No.
10 o'clock. Those ads?
Please.
Then I tell you what. What we'll do is this is how we're going to do it.
No, no, no.
I will sing it during the ads. You play the ads, please. Here we go.
Talk Radio. Across the UK. Online. On DAB. And on your smart speaker. Late Night with Ian Lee. On Talk Radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. It's a phone-in show. We'll take, phone calls. We'll argue. I don't know. Just listen and see what happens.
Late Night with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle,
it's
obviously.
We say obviously. We stopped wearing name tags a while ago and I struggle to remember what's going on. Very, very hot in here. Mm-hmm. James Whale has left it very, very hot.
They like it warm, don't they?
It stinks. 0344... Is that your computer making noises?
Oh, it better not be.
Every time.
I've got a lot of windows open. I'm a very busy person.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. We have a special guest coming up later. But in the first hour, that's a joke.
Oh, okay.
That was a joke.
Sorry.
I apologise.
We've got
my friend Chip here, Chip Summers.
Hi.
I don't know how to describe you.
Okay. Physically or as
well,
my
physically,
job?
Physically, you're an older, very slim gentleman.
Thank you.
Tousled hair.
I
bespectacled.
I'm a therapist who specialises in alcoholism and addiction of all kinds.
Yeah.
I'm in recovery myself. have been for a long time, and I've spent doing the only job probably I've got my CV would allow me to do, which is working with other addicts and alcoholics.
We should say that I see you as a professional. We have relationship.
So I must be careful what I reveal.
Well, no, I've said you can reveal like 95% of everything that I've said in your room, I've said on the air. There are a couple of exceptions, which I've made clear
I've got
a legal
down
letter
in front of me here.
Yes,
yeah.
But you can say anything you want. If anything comes out, I want, I'll just dump it. But we're quite honest on this show. But I thought it'd be nice to get you on. A, because about 6 months ago you asked if you could come on and plug your podcast.
I suggested it gently that might be the idea.
But also because we have had recently, we've had a real run, Catherine, haven't we, of people phoning up who, and by the way, if you just want to phone up and do the, Chip's going to be here for an hour, right? But if you just want to phone up and do the normal dicking around, you're very, very welcome to. You know what it's like when we have a guest on, we talk to the guest, but we have the normal show running underneath it as well. So if you want to phone up and talk nonsense, 0344 499 1000. But we've had a lot of people, primarily men, phoning up recently who are struggling with booze and or drugs. Yeah. There seems to have been quite a few.
Which I think is brilliant because...
Everyone loves a junkie.
No, because they're ringing up and they're talking about it, whereas before it's something that they've kept secret, and of course secrecy feeds it, right?
Yeah.
So they've been ringing up because you've been open about your recovery.
Yeah.
And they feel like they can talk to us about it. And, you know, for the most part, they can, you know.
Yeah, and we've had... all I'm able to do... So I kind of guess I wanted you in a little bit, Chip, just to kind of nudge us, to kind of talk to the people listening at home who may not quite get what addiction is. And, you know, there are people that think addiction is self-inflicted and is an extravagance. But also just, I wouldn't mind knowing... if what we're doing, what me and Catherine are doing is right.
Okay.
All I'm doing really is sharing what
the more
got
people
me clean.
Declare themselves to be in recovery, the more people get interested in recovery.
But in, because I got clean in the 12 steps in NA, and now AA is where I'm going to a lot. We're not supposed to identify ourselves as alcoholics and addicts in public. That's one of the rules.
Well, it kind of... I think you're not supposed to say that you go to AA or N. I think the thing you just did was what you're not supposed
to do. Right, that's one of the steps, isn't it?
You kind of just have to... I mean, I don't have any problem saying I'm in recovery. Why keep it a secret? There's people out there who don't know that recovery exists and are dying to find a way to get hold of it. Yeah. And if we have information or knowledge that can help somebody find recovery, why on earth would I keep that secret? So I think anybody like you and people like Russell Brand who've come out and declared themselves to be in recovery, it gets people so keen on the idea that they can do it.
It gets rid of the shame as well.
Completely,
that's one of the
yeah.
big things yeah. is the shame.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to sort of say how we met, and I won't mention any names because that's inappropriate. But so I had 13 years clean. But by the end of that, the last 2 years, I was going nuts because I stopped going to meetings. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've shared all of this before. And I was slowly going nuts, and then kind of an ending of a marriage and living in a room on my own in an awful block of flats, but not telling anyone. Then doing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
And I came back and I went nuts again. You know, all of those things piled up without having any recovery going on made me go nuts. And I... came back from Australia, and within days I had arranged to go to meet up at some kind of weird sex thing because I knew there was going to be Class A drugs there. And I thought, well, I'm not going to ask for the drugs, but if someone offers me the drugs, I think I'm going to take them because I think I'm okay now.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I was an addict before. I think maybe I was younger. I didn't quite. I think I can handle it. And I ended up in this horrible grim flat with this guy, and he had crystal meth, which is a drug I'd never done before. Cocaine was my drug of choice.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm smoking crystal meth after not having done any Class A drugs.
Big hit.
For 13 years. Well, the first 20 minutes, nothing's happening. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is rubbish. And then 20 minutes in, suddenly, I was very, very high. And the voice in my head went... Welcome home.
Yeah.
Welcome home. Do you know what I mean?
It's
welcome home. This is what were you doing leaving me for 13 yeah. years? And for 5 minutes, it was awesome. I was high and I felt comfortable and it was, I was felt loved and I was like embraced by this crystal meth for 5 minutes. And then after that, the next 24 hours were awful and painful yeah. and miserable. And I'm lucky that my relapse only lasted 3 months. And straight away, from the very next day, I knew this wasn't what I wanted. The very next day, I told Catherine what I'd done. I got in touch with a couple of friends from NA who I hadn't spoken to for years and said what I'd done. I went to a meeting that night. Mm-hmm. And it was 3 years. I don't know. It was 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. I don't know how many more times I did it in that 3 months. But I did it and I lied a lot. Are you going to be okay this weekend? Yeah, I'm going to be fine. Not, I'm, you know,
on the way home, picked it up.
On the way home, yeah. knowing that I was going to go and pick up drugs yeah. and then check into a hotel for the weekend. Blah, 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 blah. Insanity. When I was in a hotel for the weekend, in insanity, I got in touch with a couple of people on Twitter privately who I knew were in recovery and who I knew a little bit. I knew a little bit. I met them professionally. I'd met them in the rooms. And one of them said, here's Chip's nut. Here's a guy called Chip Summers. Here's his number. Why don't you give him a call? He might be able to do something. And I was like, okay. And I don't really remember much of that. I think I phoned you on a weekend and said, I'm stuck here and I don't know.
I didn't really know who you were.
No. Good.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah.
And that was kind of the start of our, I still had a few more use-ups in me after that, but it only lasted 3 months, thank God. And then we started working together. Has it only been 2 years then?
About that, I would think.
It must be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 2 years clean next March.
I know. It's fantastic. You should be very proud.
Thank you. But that's how we met. And you're very well respected with, well, lots of people know about you. You mentioned Russell Brand. I'm not going to mention any names. And if you do, then we can go there. But otherwise, I'm not going to. But you mentioned Russell Brand. And, of course, a lot of people will know who you are because he wrote about you in his...
Well, that's why I think I will use his name. There was a famous therapist about 20 years ago. And he went on morning television and said, the thing about Elton John and Michael Jackson that they absolutely like about me is my confidentiality.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, but I know Russell's put it out there, so I don't have a problem mentioning, but I wouldn't mention any other class name. No.
And how, again, if I ask anything that's inappropriate, then say it, but how, did you help Russell get clean? How are you part of his orbit?
I was sort of floating about an agency, John Knoll's agent, John Knoll Management, and I would go in there and pick up their kind of waifs and strays who were going a bit awry.
Oh,
and
wow, okay.
Sort of give, it was like in-house therapists.
I've met John though. They as an agency were actively encouraging you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I would come in if they had somebody who had a problem and try and sort them out. And one day they presented me with this lunatic.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was obvious that he needed to go straight from here, do not pass go, do not pick up drugs or £200 and go to treatment, yeah.
Let's not talk about him too much, but there are examples like that of people who were hopeless.
He was absolutely hopeless. I mean, I know it's an old cliche, but, you know, if you keep on using drugs at that level,
yeah,
you're going to cut your life very short.
Yeah.
And or you're going to end up in a prison somewhere, or you're going to end up in big trouble. Yeah.
How did you're an addict.
Yeah. Was an addict for 20 years, yeah.
What was, can I ask what was going on? I sort of know some of it.
It was very sort of train spotting, grubby squats in West London, crime every day. It was just real street level junky stuff. Nothing nice about it at all.
And it was there. I can kind of see. I think I was always going to take drugs. Part of me thinks it's a genetic thing, but I can also see things that happened to me as a kid. A little bit of abuse there.
Yeah.
Dad that was quite dismissive, mum that was over affectionate and over dependent on me. All these little things kind of nudged me towards it. Was there anything that...
Lots of sex abuse.
Right. As a kid?
As a child, yeah.
As a very young child?
6 years old.
Right.
That went on for about 5 years from a member of my family. And then when I went to boarding school, the teacher, the music teacher, took a fancy to me, and he would me off every time I had a piano lesson.
Wow.
So I never learned the piano. And that damaged me, obviously. Not learning the piano is a terrible thing to have to carry in life. everybody who comes to see me has got dysfunction in their history.
Yeah.
Everybody. Anybody who gets really messed up with drugs, I think, has, once you unravel it all and get rid of the drugs and the alcohol, you are always revealed as sort of slightly damaged goods.
Mm.
And actually, practically always an absent father, strangely enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I keep on waiting for the client to walk in who's not had that, but everybody, either emotionally, they could be just emotionally absent, or just absent altogether. So that thing you were saying about genetic, I think there will shortly be some kind... I mean, they have found genetic failures for practically everything.
Yeah.
They'll find something about alcohol dependency. But, you know, if you grow up in a home where alcohol, two of your parents are both alcoholics, you're going to be messed up. Mm. So whether it's genetic or the fact that you just had a really bad childhood, sometimes it's difficult to differentiate.
And there's the thing that I'm finding through my recovery is that the connection... I went to NA 15, 16 years ago, whenever it was, because I had a problem with drugs. I couldn't stop taking cocaine. Couldn't stop it. And I went to the meetings, firstly because I wanted to be able to take it socially again. I thought, well, if I can just do a couple of lines a week, you know, that'd be cool. Realised that was never going to happen. But so then I was going to stop taking drugs. But then that was then replaced very quickly by acting out around sex.
Yeah.
Then when I managed to put that on hold, it then becomes buying crap on eBay. We've both joked about having boxes of stuff in the boot of our car.
Yes.
That we have bought, not necessarily to hide it from our partners, although there's an element of that, partly to hide it from ourselves. You buy this stuff and you spend a fortune and you don't know what to do with
it. I did it yesterday.
Did you do it again?
Yes, I've done it again. I bought something, a computer screen, which I thought was going to be fantastic, and it doesn't work with my computer. And but it was good. Well, great opening the box. Opening the box was good. Oh, opening the box was spectacular.
Are you going to take it back, or are you just going to hang on to it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I hang on to these things.
Well, thinking you're going to get the other part at some point.
Yeah, my wife will say, oh, send it back, get a refund. And I go, oh, I can't be arsed. It's so much trouble getting a refund.
Meanwhile, it sits there saying, you did this again.
It glows at me. Yeah, it will do. I mean, I know these things are in the boot of the car, but and they glow at me. I mean, I was clearing out my car today, actually. And there was a very, very expensive backpack in there. I've got four very expensive backpacks because...
But only one back.
Only one back. But there was just something not quite right about it.
But then, so why is that?
So why haven't I sold it on eBay, which is what I should do?
What, if you're... How long are you clean and sober for?
35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that mean we can never...
No, I don't think I'm a good example. Then. I think there are people who are 35 years who are much weller than I am.
Well, am I paying to see you then? I'm seeing the wrong guy. But it's all connected. This desire. And we've got some calls, and we've got Alistair calling. He'll be interesting to speak to in a minute. To change the way we feel, either by having sex, either by taking cocaine, either by drinking or stealing or gambling or eating or whatever. It's this desire to not feel things.
Completely, yeah. It's all about, that's what it's all about. It's like, I don't want to feel these bad, nasty feelings.
How much of it is like distraction, diversion?
Some of it is. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's got their thing. But I mean, if you've been a full-on addict, you've got a lot of time to fill if you give up the drugs. Mm-hmm. So that's, what do I do with all that time? Well, I need to fill it with something. So that's where I can find other distractions and other things to do. And then gradually, if you become more responsible, the things that you can do become more limited. So I am now limited to buying crap. And it works.
Yeah.
This is how my mind works, right? I don't want to take a drug or drink today, right? And I never want to do it again. But there's a story in the paper about this new drug, that makes you really aggressive and violent. And
I saw that, and I deliberately did not bring it to your attention.
I know, I'm reading it going, And it's a horror. A woman's died, and its drug makes you very aggressive and very violent.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it going,
isn't that the one that makes you want to eat your own face or something?
There's a bit of that. I'm thinking, that sounds interesting. That sounds fun. That's where my head goes.
Yeah, no, my head gets really perturbed by that stuff because there's stuff being turned out of amateur chemical labs that are just so... They haven't got a clue what they're doing. And that's why you get these occasional MDMA deaths and things because they're not being produced properly. You know, you might get a drug that's absolutely 100% ecstasy or something instead of being mixed up with some other things. And
but that's how sick my head is because I know, of course I know all that.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I've shoved up my nose that was, you know, tasted of scrubbing powder and stuff, but I carried on doing it. But I still read a story like that and there's a bit of me that goes, that sounds like, that's got to be worth... That sounds like a...
Worth a go?
Worth a go. And of course it's not. And of course I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But my first reaction is, I wonder where you can get that from.
Yeah.
Second reaction is, well, let's move on and read another news story.
Well, we're definitely moving into a world where there will be lots and lots of legal drugs for all kinds of emotions, you know. We are going to, you know, any kind of anxiety, grief, any kind of just depression, we're going to be medicated out of... You know, you'll never go and see a psychiatrist... And he's going to say, well, actually, it just sounds like your life's been a bit shit lately.
Yeah.
And you're a bit down. He's going to give you a label and he's going to give you a pack of drugs and probably you'll probably walk away a little bit happier for a while, yeah.
But that can help. I mean, I'm on antidepressants.
Yeah.
That helps.
It helps. But I just think, I mean, and there is definitely really good circumstances where drugs play a really important part. But I just think we're moving towards... Oh my God, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I've got to go and get a pill for it.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between depression and just having a bit of a bad time.
Let's take a quick break. Then we're going to take a couple of calls. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Chip Summers is here. Chip, we got Ryan and we got Alistair calling in, and we're going to go to those gentlemen in a second. But there is, there's a podcast.
There is a podcast.
2020, there's a podcast.
There is a podcast.
We'll talk about it more in detail in a bit, but what is it called?
It's called Soberful.
Right.
And it's there free, and it's about 80 episodes we've got so far.
And who is it? Is you and.
Me and a woman in America called Ronnie Varley used to work for me.
Right.
And we do a bit of banter, but we always take a different topic every week to do with people who are either thinking about or in early recovery. So it's very much around people who are struggling with that changeover from one way of behaving to another. And it's not geared for people like me who've been around for years and years. It's for people who are just kind of in the early days.
Mm. And you, Soberful, and you can get that everywhere, iTunes and Acast.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yep.
Let's go to Ryan. Good evening, Ryan.
Good evening, Ian. How's it going?
Very well, Ryan. What you got for us?
Well, my original plan for tonight was I was just going to ring in and talk crap, but then I heard some stuff that you were talking about that actually resonated quite a bit with me.
You can talk about the stuff that resonated and then talk crap if you want.
Yeah, if that's all right.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Go on.
Right. So going on addictions, I'm 24 years old. I've gone a month clean. My main drug was cocaine. And I was sort of using it as a crutch to be better in social situations.
Mm.
Recently, about a year ago, I don't know if you've heard of this show, but I went on this show called Take Me Out, the ITV One show.
What's that? Is that the dating show?
Yeah.
Where it's like 20 women lined up and they have to buzz. Have you seen this, Chip?
No.
It's like a sort of modern blind date, but with, okay. You went on that, did you? Wow.
Yeah, and, the thing is, even though I came across quite well on it, pretty much most of the time I was high. I ended up coming back from it and being like, you know, I can't keep using this to feel good. I need to find another way to feel good. And, going back to how your childhood can affect you later in life, I do agree quite a bit. I think it's a case of, you know, upbringing and your environment as well. So I lost my dad at quite a young age. I was 18. And, yeah, my dad, not only was he my dad, he was my best friend as well. He was an absolute legend. And my mum as well. My mum, don't get me wrong, she's not a bad person, but in the politest way possible, I'd say she's an emotionless zombie. Yeah, not a great upbringing, I'd say, and it sort of led to that later in life. But yeah, what I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to fill my time up with other things that make me feel good. And one of the things that resonates with me is music and performing live. I'm a guitar player and a singer.
Go on, Chip, do you want to say anything?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, I think what you just said then about finding social situations difficult, they are definitely difficult at the beginning when you've given up one drug that's really helped you with social situations. When you're suddenly without that, social situations are really hard to begin with. It takes quite a long time to build up confidence again. But it's really good that you've got an interest that fills up that time in the music, something that occupies your mind because you want to try and keep as busy as possible to begin with.
Yeah. Are you finding it difficult not without the coke?
When I go on a night out and, you know, you see everybody talking and having a good time, and if you're one of these people who's sort of quiet and in a corner, you sort of feel like, you know, it's like Superman's cape, you know what I mean? You're like, you know, let's just go in the telephone box, you know, as it were, put my cape on, and then I can be this social superhero, you know, and... You know, that's where the...
Oh, I like the metaphor that Superman is Clark Kent coked up. That's a great way of putting it. But you're finding it difficult, but okay?
In day-to-day life, when I'm at work, it's fine, because I thought of getting the work mode. It's when you're out of work and you're with friends and you feel like there's no boundaries.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Alistair.
Evening, all.
Hey, Alistair, how you doing?
I'm good today, thanks.
You've been a little bit down, but you're on the up.
Yeah. What I was wondering to ask...
Chip.
I don't know what to call you, Chip or Mr. Summers.
No, Chip, please.
Mr. Summers.
I've been tomorrow. I'll be 9 months sober.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. I was an alcoholic for many years, really, although I didn't recognise it. So I've just recently, in the last couple of weeks, got a sponsor, we've had our first meeting, and we're going to be embarking on the steps. Now, I'm particularly anxious about the step 4 and step 5, which relate to talking about all the people you've hurt, you know, in the past and so forth. And
for those who don't know, because we talk about the steps a lot, for those who don't know, basically it's a set of...
It's a sort of structure for... dealing, first of all, it's kind of a structure for admitting you've got a problem, admitting that you need help. And then 4 and 5, Alistair, are kind of writing down a lot about your history, really. It's almost a life story. It's 8 and 9 that are about making amends for the people that you've harmed.
So 4 is down basically everything you've done and you're ashamed of and you hate.
Four and five is about learning about yourself. What are you like, sort of? What are your pluses? What are your assets? What are your defects? What are the things that you need to work on? That sort of thing. But the one you're talking about is 8 and 9. Why does it bother you?
Well, actually, I got that mixed up. You're absolutely right. No, 4 and 5. I also suffer from depression.
Right.
And I've got, I'm on venlafaxine for that.
Right.
And already, I've kind of been emotionally very up and down recently. And I'm wondering whether I'm anxious about what's going to come with thinking and bringing back a lot of stuff that's happened in the past.
Then do it at your pace. You do it when you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, do it eventually, but do it when you're ready for it. Don't do it if you're going to feel it's going to upset you now. Don't do it. There's no timetable you've got to adhere to.
But also, they're written in that order, because by the time you get to step three, by the time you finish step two, you're ready for step three. By the time you finish step four, you're ready for step five. It's not like day one. You've got to write a list of people you were shit to and go and say sorry to them now. It's not that. You kind of build up to it in order so that you get to the step you're meant to be on at the right time. And also, you don't have to, if it's your fear of saying sorry to everyone, you don't have to say sorry to everyone. That's a slightly misleading part of it as well. That was one of the things, Chip, that put me off going into recovery, was thinking, oh God, I've got to say sorry to everyone that I was horrible to.
Mm.
And you don't. That's not what it is.
No, it's about people you've harmed. And actually, it's far fewer people than you think it is.
Yeah.
I thought I'd harmed everybody I ever came into contact with, so there wasn't going to be enough paper in the world to, for my list. It was, I hurt because I hurt everybody. But actually, when I really looked at the people I'd harmed, it's like a little shopping list. It's got about 15 names on it.
Right.
I had to kind of do a bit of a catch-all for things like society, who I had obviously been an absolute menace to. But the actual people I'd harmed were basically just my family, a few friends who'd reached out to me. You know, people I'd mouthed off in the street, I didn't harm them or do anything like wrong with them. But, I mean, I wouldn't, Alistair, I wouldn't think your list was that long, was it?
Well, not so much. I mean, the family, I've got two brothers. I probably need to make amends to it at some point. But
you may find, I've had, if it's my experience is anything to go by, let's say it's 15 people on my list. 14 of them were really lovely experiences.
Right.
This will sound cheesy. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. Writing the list, I found daunting. And I still make amends now. The people that I bumped into someone in the street a couple of months ago that I behaved terribly towards at work and really let down. And I just bumped into her. I've not seen her for 20 years. And I went, oh my God. And we chatted and I said, I feel I owe you an apology because of this, this and this. And she went, oh God. Oh no, that was nothing. And we kind of laughed about it. For the most part, it's beautiful. And each time I've said sorry or apologised or explained the situation, I've come away feeling a little bit lighter.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I suppose, what I'm thinking is you know, I'm very ashamed about some of the things I have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And it's about dealing with that, I think, with me. And like you say, you're absolutely right. I should just sort of try and go gingerly into this.
Yeah, you can dictate the pace. I mean, if your sponsor's rushing you too much, just say you're rushing me too much. I don't want to go that fast.
No. I mean, it's not that. I'm just preempting it, I guess.
Well, exactly. Have you done step one yet?
The fact that you're on the show.
Alistair, have you done step one yet?
Well, he has done, because he's 9 months sober.
Well, exactly, yeah. But, I mean,
he's done step two and three
officially
as well.
With your sponsor?
No.
Well, then enjoy those. Savour those.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Alistair. Listen, I'm going to move on, because we've got calls. Sean's on the line. Thank you, Alistair. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And well done for 9 months.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Sean.
Hi, mate.
Hello, what you got?
I've got, it's what you've been talking about most of the night, but it's something that's really, really relevant at the moment. My brother died on a Friday.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry.
And he was a long-time drinker.
Sean, do us a favour. Can you turn your radio off? Because I can hear it in the background, and it's just confusing everything a little bit.
Yeah, that's gone now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, my brother, he's a big fan of your show, so we used to sit around his house at late at night and just watch, like, listen to talk radio and BBC Sport and all that sort of stuff. But he did drink quite a great deal of things like white ciders and spirits. And he was part of a thing called the Monday Club, where all of the people would get their gyros, they'd put their money together and they'd all drink together.
Well, I'm sorry I'm sorry for your loss, mate.
But that isn't the reason why I'm actually calling. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to motivate myself in this way and speak to you. But the thing is that the reason why he went, I think, is because he went into hospital and then he just decided to stop straight away. He just stopped everything straight away. And then within a few days, he's gone. So I think that anybody that's, you know, if they have got a problem with drugs or drink and stuff, you can't just go, stop, I'm going to stop now this minute.
Would never advise that. It's a really dangerous thing to do.
That's what I think that's what Mark did. I think that Mark, he just went, no, I can't do this no more. And I think that that's probably what took him. And like everybody, a lot of people have said today, I had somebody just now talked about the power of music and things. Mark was a brilliant guitarist and things. He's going to be truly missed. He really likes your show and stuff. But I just wanted to say, even if you're going to stop, you have to. You can't just stop. You have to.
Yeah. You have to do it under medical supervision.
Yeah.
Sean, can I ask? We don't take this the wrong way.
No, I'm absolutely fine. I'm 4 days in now. I've got my daughter lives with me. I'm a single dad. I've got a lot of things going on. But I'm absolutely fine.
What's your relationship with booze?
Mine. Yeah, I have an alcohol issues. Yeah, but since I've become a single dad, I've had to curb that down. Lots of things have happened in different ways around me. I mean, I have social workers and things that are helping me and care and, you know, all that sort of thing. So yeah, I've had my own issues.
Can I ask, have you had a drink today?
Not today, no. No, I'm the thing is, my brother's funeral is within the next 2 weeks, yeah. and I've tried not to drink since May, and it's beginning to get quite hard at the minute, to be honest. It's beginning to bite, but I mean,
I guess the key thing there, Chip, is if you've got, obviously the grief is going to be incredible, but you've got to think about
grief's enormous, yeah.
You've got to think about your kid.
I mean, the thing that kept me sober definitely to begin with was that I had a young daughter of 8, and
my daughter lives in the room next door to me. We're in the bed and breakfast shared at the moment,
but sure. Yeah, we ended up in bed and breakfast on Suffolk Road, Suffolk Gardens. I think she was the person that kind of motivated me, because I had trouble kind of getting the sort of willpower to get it together to get myself, because I didn't think much of myself. I just thought I was a bit of shit and I couldn't really kind of...
That's all happening now, but not through because of Mark, but because I wasn't there for my brother when he probably needed me. And now he's gone. He only went a few days ago. And Molly's... She's 13, but she's holding me, she's looking after me when I should be the one looking after her, but it affects...
You do get that you do get that role reversal a bit. You know, there's lots of young children who are looking after kind of parents who've got alcohol problems, but the thing that you can do is to now, you're acknowledging that, and you can change that around, and in a few months' time, you'll be looking after her in the way that you shouldn't want to.
Yeah, it's just... in the crazy week, but as soon as I heard you talking, I knew Mark would normally be listening to this, and he's the man I normally go to speak to, and he's not here anymore.
Well, Sean, listen, you give us a call anytime you want, and good luck over the next couple of weeks as you build up towards the funeral.
Yeah, nice one, guys.
Thank you, mate. Let's take one more quick call, and then we'll have a quick break, and then we'll talk about the podcast again. Let's go to Mark. Hello, Mark. Oh, talking about Mark. There was Sean. We've got another Mark. Hey, Mark.
Are you okay? Hello. Yeah.
What you got for us?
All right, man. Hello, Catherine and Ian.
Hello.
Can I speak to Chip?
You can speak to
I'm
Chip.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello. And more of a question on behalf of Catherine and Ian. They've said about when there's people have had problems and various things happening, and about taking those problems away with them after the show. How do you keep those problems from not getting inside you?
That's a good
I do
question.
Various voluntary work myself, and I can't really explain how I keep it sort of that one step away, if you get what I mean.
I struggle taking a lot of the stuff home that we get given from some of our callers.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. I remember when I first started working, I would really, really sort of take that stuff home and turn it over in my head over and over, and I suppose it just came... It's not that I'm disinterested, but I just learned how to kind of shut down between my work and my social life and my home life. But it took a bit of time, but, you know, but there are even still, you know, there are still people who kind of I get concerned about and worried about, in, you know, when I don't see them and in between sessions. You have to, it's, you can't just become a sort of robot and not have any feelings about other people at all. But I think I've learned over time to try to sort of get a bit of a difference between my work and everything else, because otherwise you become useless as a worker if you're completely kind of affected by everything. You've got to be able to be effective as well, and in order to...
I suppose what I'm asking is what advice would you give for Catherine and Ian to
stay that one step removed, and also people listening is...
Oh, I should think that, I think they should have a debrief after the show and just talk and make sure that they're both okay, make sure if there's any things that have particularly touched on them each night, and anything that's come up for them that's been difficult, to actually kind of talk about it for about 5 minutes and then kind of look after each other and then go their separate ways.
Sounds about right. Is that, Mark, thank you very much. You all right?
Yeah.
Let's have a quick break.
Is that the debrief?
That's it. Let's have a quick break. This is Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We've got another 10 minutes. Chip Summers is here. What? The podcast is called...
It's called Soberful.
You don't need the headphones on if you don't
want. Oh, don't I?
Go on. Soberful.
Oh, I can hear you better
now. There we go, exactly.
It's called Soberful. You can get it on all the kind of usual...
It's free.
It's free, yeah.
And you're like a Harley Street therapist, so people can pay top dollar to see you.
Some people pay a lot of money to
people
come see
you. People fly all over the world, but you are giving this stuff away for free.
Absolutely.
In this podcast.
Yes. And there are about 80, I think we're up to episode 87. They're right. About an hour long, each one. And they're a different topic each week to do with trying to get sober, getting sober. What do you do once you got sober? How do you have sex sober? How do you talk
sober,
to people?
And by sober, specifically alcohol or drugs?
I think probably, I always try and throw in the drug bit. But it's to do with anybody who's trying to get into recovery. But I suppose the main thrust is about people who are drinking. But and most of the people who listen to it seem to be, but it would apply to anybody. It would apply to anybody.
One of the key things about being an addict and an alcoholic, maybe more an addict if we want to draw sides.
There are differences.
They are differences.
Yeah, there are differences.
Is we're really clever and persistent and devious.
Very devious.
Come up with genius, normally overcomplicated wheezes to get drugs and money and sex and things. Am I allowed to ask about when you pretended... And I'm not making light of...
Which one?
The photocopier
repair
man?
Oh, that was
man.
A good story, yeah. Somebody gave me a white coat, and I thought, I'll be a doctor today.
When you're using?
Yeah, I'm a full-on addict, and I look like shit, and I've got kind of scabs all over the place, but... I thought, I've got a white coat, I'll be all right. I'll go to a hospital and I'll be able to get some syringes and needles and things like that. And then I thought, no, that's a bit ambitious. I better tone it down a bit. I'll be a photocopy repairman. So I got my little sort of burglar's kit, which was sort of screwdrivers and things like that I needed in order to do my usual breaking and entering. And I went to Berkeley Square, where J. Walter Thompson had their offices at the time, huge advertising agency. And I just marched straight in, speeding out of my head. I was doing a lot of amphetamines at the time. Mm. Photocopy repairman, I walked straight past reception, got into the building, and started wandering around this office, seeing what there was to steal. Suddenly, somebody said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Oh, I'm the photocopy repairman." He said, "Oh, good, it's this way." And he took me down to the photocopy repair. And it was just like this huge photocopier from Star Trek. It was like huge. And I started pressing buttons, and paper was flying out everywhere. And I said, "It's all right, you can leave me to it. It's all right, it's all right." So he went away, and I got out of there as quickly as possible. If in trouble, go to the lavatories, go to the toilets, have a hit. So that's what I did. So I went to the toilets, got up a big syringe full of amphetamines, just about to put it in, and the door gets kicked in, and there's three policemen there with guns pointing at me.
Jeez.
Because it was during the Irish bombing thing, and they thought I was a bomber come to bomb this advertising agency. So I finished the hit, fortunately, of course. And then they took me off. I think at that point they realised they'd got a nutter on their hands, and eventually, they just let me go.
It's exhausting, isn't it? It's really exhausting being
a junkie. All day long.
Yeah.
All day long.
So tiring. And we're having a laugh about that, and I've got funny war stories, but most of it is really boring.
Boring and actually not very nice. And
there's a lot of waiting for phone calls and people to turn up.
I'm pre-mobile phone, guys.
Right, okay. So were you using phone boxes and stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to walk around all the time. You'd have to give people money, and then they'd disappear for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be watching out the window because they'd get there quicker if you looked down the street.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and it was like awful. Nowadays, you just ring it up when they stand on the corner and somebody on a scooter comes and gives it to you.
Kids these days.
Easy. They've got it so easy.
Is there anything you want to say, Catherine? Because you've heard a lot of this. You two people, I would say, and I don't say this lightly, you two have both saved my life.
Yeah.
It's not a flippant throwaway thing. You have both saved my life. The reason I am sat here right now is because both of you, the reason I am, you've both got my head sorted around drugs. You've both got my head sorted around sex and what sex is supposed to be, primarily you, Chip, because I struggle a lot with relationships and what is appropriate sex and all of that kind of stuff. So thank you for that. But Catherine, is there anything you want to say or ask?
I want to thank Chip because he was brilliant. Some of the lowest points, he gave me some brilliant advice.
You got in touch with him as well when I was...
Yeah, and he gave me advice about protecting myself from what might happen, because that's the feeling when someone you care about is so out of control. You can live in dread, and that is no way to live, is it? I was a nervous wreck sometimes. Mm. And Chip kind of gave me advice about, that whole thing about you can't control it. All you can control is your response to it.
Yeah.
And really powerful thing you said to me, and I've told you this, is do as much as you can so that you'll be right with yourself if you survive him.
Yeah.
That was an incredible bit of advice and really important and hard to hear, but really necessary. And there'll be people listening to this at the moment who are worried about someone and feeling powerless and kind of forgotten about, because everyone kind of focuses on the person who's in it, who's the primary person in it. What would you say to those people? How do they stay sane when everything is completely... But it's mayhem around them, isn't it?
It is. I mean, for every addict, there's five or six people whose lives are completely devastated. You know, young children who go to school and all they do at school is worry about their parents all day long, what they're going to come home to. Parents who worry and they don't hear, and that famous thing about waiting for the phone call. Is it going to be the phone call that says I need help, or is it going to be the phone call from somebody saying he's died or she's died? Mm-hmm. For every addict and alcoholic, there's at least five or six people whose lives are completely dominated by that person's behavior, and yet the person with the problem will think, this is just my problem. Mm-hmm. It's not bothering anybody else at all. It's just me. It's my problem. And it isn't. It affects a lot of people. So it's really difficult to kind of forget people to acknowledge that they're harming other people as
and
well.
And you can't get that person clean. You can, Catherine could not get me clean. My family could not get me clean. They could give me options.
They could
present
me
with tools. Yep. They could show me love. But at some point, they would have to have stepped back and said, you're going to have to go on your own because this is too damaging to me.
Yeah, there's a difference between that you can't do anything at all because you definitely can. You can put up boundaries. You cannot collude with the problem. I've had hundreds of families in my career who have said, I don't know what to do about little Johnny. He's 24 years old. He just spends his entire time in his room smoking weed, and I don't know what to do. We're at our wit's end. And I say, well, why would Johnny get better? He's got food, he's got laundry, he's got a nice warm bed, he's got come and go as he pleases. You give him money for his drugs. Why on earth would he get better? Mm. So there is a situation where they could do something that actually might get him to change his mind. They could say, sorry, but if you want to do that, you're going to have to do it somewhere else. Mm. And then everybody thinks they're going to die on the streets, of course, but they don't. They find somewhere to live. But if people put up better boundaries, sometimes people would stop. A lot of people collude with the problem, which doesn't help at all.
So, but when you're a parent and you think, well, I can't kick him
out.
I
had to do that with my daughter.
Really?
Gave her 2 weeks. I said, you can do what you like for 2 weeks. End of 2 weeks, you're either out or you go to rehab. And she fortunately went to rehab.
And it worked?
For a year.
Okay. Yeah.
She's now 19 months sober again.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
A lot of parents would struggle with that.
Yes. I mean, but one of the reasons I struggled with it a lot was because I was very responsible for her damage. You know, she was 8 or 9 when I got clean. Her mother was the same. We had severely damaged her.
Right.
So that
you felt
was,
responsibility.
Yeah, of course. Of course,
her
I was. Yeah, and the fact that she was acting out with drugs was partly my fault, but at the same time, I was clean then, and I had to put a boundary up, and it was very difficult. And I still have to accept the fact that I damaged that person by my behaviour. I have to take responsibility for it. It's hard. But thankfully now she's doing all right.
Yeah. It's nice to see you out of your...
out of my
weird little office.
Weird little office with those books that I never read.
And not your books, apparently.
No, no, no. Well,
by it's all a sham.
Philosophical books by the yard, please.
It's so nice to see you. Honestly, I love you, man. And,
thank you.
You know,
much.
And I know we have a financial business relationship, but also you have been very kind to me personally. You invited me to yours for Christmas, which is I didn't go.
No.
But maybe next year if that offer is still open. Yeah. And I know you've been very kind to Catherine while seeing me as a client and stuff, and thank you. You know, I don't take drugs. In the end of March, I'm going to be 2 years clean and sober, you know, and you have helped enormously with me coming to terms with being bisexual, which I can say now, still slightly hesitantly, but I can say it, in terms of what is appropriate sexually, and you know, so thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
Soberful is the podcast.
It is.
You're welcome back anytime you want.
Thank you.
We'll carry on with the nonsense, dear listener. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Together again.
Just sang the whole song to Catherine.
Yeah,
and
wasn't it?
We loved it. You loved that song?
It was almost as special as the first five times. On the way out, Chip said to me, have you got to see me off the premises? I said, yeah, we've got a lot of photocopiers.
Story, isn't it?
It's such a good story. Especially when he's got comes out of that mild mannered gentleman.
Exactly,
sitting over there.
He's very well, you know, very well spoken. Very, I would say, posh.
Yeah,
gentleman, and it just it goes to show that it can hit anybody, no matter class, anything.
But that doesn't happen to be the end of the story.
No, exactly. Thank you, everyone, for that. I know we talk about stuff a lot, and some of you may think he's bringing in his therapist. That's a bit self-indulgent. A free session. But we've had so many calls recently. A lot of you remember Ewan, and we've all followed Alistair's journey, and we've had a few others recently. And I just thought it would be nice to get a professional in. And we will put that out as a podcast. That'll go out as a podcast tomorrow. Or if Catherine can't sleep, it'll be up about 4 o'clock this morning.
I do it straight away when I go home.
We've
at the
both forgotten how to sleep.
Well, here's what happens now. I've started this routine, which I don't think is necessarily healthy, but you've got to remember that I'm not in my house for most of the day.
Because of the builders.
Because of the builders, right?
Yeah.
So I try and get all my work done when I get home so that I can vacate and go and basically doss at my dad's.
Yeah.
So I get home, I make my daughters pack lunch, and I've started a very dangerous precedent in that now I draw a funny face on a banana.
Oh.
If anyone's ever watched Gumball, have you ever seen that?
Gumball Rally?
It's a cartoon.
No, I don't know.
There's a guy in it called Banana Joe, and he's a banana with a face on it. It started out that I would put Banana Joe in a lunchbox, and then it's turned into Banana Joe, Banana Josephine, sometimes a cat, sometimes a sort of Japanese kawaii type faces. I mean, I'm running out of ideas, to be honest. And I used to put like a little note in there or an origami animal, and now that's become a thing. So I go home, that's the first half hour when I get home, and then I think, oh, I might as well stick a podcast out while I'm up.
Yeah.
I don't get to bed till flipping 3 o'clock, and then I wonder why I can't go to sleep.
I cannot fall asleep at the moment. The lavender spray on the bed isn't working. Tonight I've got clean sheets. I've got first time in 2.5 weeks I've put clean sheets on. It's going to be ready and fresh when I get in, and I'm hoping. It means because I've really wanted to stream this week in the daytime, and I've not been able to because I'm so tired. I'm just getting up, doing some stuff, then going back to doze. I just want to sleep so tomorrow I can wake up and at 11 o'clock I can stream me playing Command and Conquer Tiberian Sun on my Twitch channel. It's all I want to do. But I cannot fall asleep. And all of the usual methods, I think you know what I mean.
Nature sleeping
pills. It's hard to do when you've got 3 out of 4, 75% of your cats are on your bed.
Yeah, it feels wrong.
Well, also, George thinks it's like a game. So he's jumping on it. He's jumping and biting. So it's a tricky situation for everybody.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Do you want a bit of confusion?
What more?
Good evening, Alan!
Hiya, boss.
Oh, what's wrong, Alan?
Mum's back in hospital again.
Uh-oh!
It was the same thing as last year, but hopefully it's not as bad because I caught it in time.
Good. Well, listen, man, if they caught it in time, then they can work a little bit of the old Aussie Magic. Aussie, short for hospital.
You mean medicine?
Yes, medicine, that's it. Aussie Magic, of course, medicine.
She's got a CPAP mask on, and she's on a ward.
Yeah.
Because she was in A&E from 8:30 this morning, and Dad went with her.
Yeah. Well, good for your dad. Our fingers are crossed, as always. Do you want us to send a little bit of the old psychic energy again? We did that before, and that worked.
Yep. That would help.
It's Aussie Magic. This isn't medicine. But, Catherine, would you please hold both my hands?
Yes.
Amy, I would like you to also... not. You don't need to hold our hands. It's probably inappropriate. This is probably inappropriate.
Close the eyes, Amy.
Close the eyes, Amy. Alan says, only if you feel comfortable doing so. I am my way. Join in, Catherine.
I'm doing it.
You got to do the noise. Join in with the noise, please, Amy.
What?
We could take a while, I suppose. We send our best, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel.
Hello.
Hello, Isabel. I'm going to let you lead this and see how far we get.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Right, you know we were talking about being sober and that before?
Yes.
I'm sober for 5 minutes.
I don't believe you.
No, I don't drink alcohol, you say.
5 minutes is fantastic. You should be very, very proud of yourself.
But listen, I'm not sober for a reason.
Okay.
I'm being haunted by an owl.
Haunted by an owl or or a hole?
Owl, the bird, the prey.
The prey? You're being...
bird, the prey.
You're being haunted by an owl. Okay, well, where is this owl from? I'm doing it now.
It mauled me cat. I had to take the cat to the vet. I'm going to shoot it, but I don't know if it's illegal to kill it or not.
So it's illegal to shoot cats, definitely.
No, not the cat. I'm getting revenge for my cat, Tilly.
Okay, I'm very confused.
All over the show.
I'm very confused.
I can tell you're very upset.
Well, as you know, I have beef with owls. So what did it do to... was it Tilly?
Yeah, the cat, Tilly. Mauled it.
Mauled the cat. Is Tilly mauled. Still... mauled.
Yes.
I can hear an owl in the background.
Yeah, it's mocking you.
Yes, I'm near it. You see, I'm going to kill the bastard.
Steady with your language. Have you got a gun there?
Yes, pellet gun.
Do it. Do it.
Have you got any socials? I'll send you it after I'm finished.
Have I got any what? Socials?
Socials.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag, I'm on hashtag Ian Lee.
Right, and do you mind if I tag you into this polls when I get this prey as a trophy?
I mean, I'm not a fan of trophy hunting as such, but this sounds like... shoot it!
Alright, come here, bastard.
So, what's your language?
Right, got it. Oh, shit, I missed.
Okay, well, you carry on shooting it. That was one too many swears there, unfortunately, but you carry on shooting it. Excellent work there. Excellent work. Let's go to a trip down memory lane as we walk through some of the classic callers of yesteryear. Next up, do you recognise this voice?
Hello.
Who is that?
Hello.
Who is that mysterious, sexy man?
No, it's a woman.
It's a woman.
It's a woman.
It's a sexy, mysterious woman. Do you recognise, Catherine, that sexy, mysterious woman?
Is it Zsa Zsa Gabor?
No, nearly, but not quite.
Nearly, but not quite.
Oh, hang on, then, let's check. Is it...
one of the letters is the same. Literally one of the letters is the same.
Okay, hang on a second. Is it Eartha Kitt?
Nearly.
It's closer, the rhyming slang is close.
Is it... it's Dame Joan Collins.
God, I wish, I
caller, wish. Reveal yourself!
Lavinia!
Is easy cause you're beautiful.
I wish.
Oh, so do we, but unfortunately we know the truth. Lavinia, yeah. What can we do for you on this holy Tuesday?
Oh, well, it's lovely to hear your voices, by the way.
It is. You're very lucky. You guys are lucky, and none of you will accept that.
Well, also, can I just say, you know, I was listening to you talking to that guy earlier.
Yep, Chip.
I think he was a therapist or something.
Yeah.
Some guy,
Some guy, yeah.
He's a therapist or something, yeah.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. I was listening little bits, and you know what? You know, I'll sum it up in one. I feel in this world at the moment, You know what I mean? I don't know if you agree with me or disagree with me.
Well, when you tell us, we'll find out.
Brace yourself for some wisdom.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I got a feeling I'm going to disagree.
Well, let's see.
The world that we're in at the moment, I do believe that men have a raw deal. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes,
when I say
it
they
does.
Have a raw deal, think about it. There's more men's prisons out there.
Yep.
There's men.
That's not fair.
I don't like to give you doom and gloom, but every day, this is a fact, a man, three men actually kill themselves every day.
Yep.
They commit suicide. That is fact.
It's,
right?
It's actually more than that, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I think you're right there, Ian, right? And also, can I just say something? I actually feel for men as well, because I tell you why. Also, because actually they suffer in silence.
Also, well, some don't, they're right moaners.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you listen
got,
to
got one coming up next.
I don't want to be funny, but I've got to say this, but this is fact, right? I mean, if they haven't got a big one, they've had it.
Oh.
Right?
Talking
if
about...
they're not good in bed, they're finished. If they haven't got a big bank account, they've definitely finished. So,
and
in
I
a way,
why so many
there's
men
a
take
lot
their
against
lives.
Them.
Yes,
there's a lot against men. Does that make sense? And also, as for women,
she loves men, but a lot of them are thick, is what she's saying.
Yeah,
or not thick enough, it would seem.
Actually, I do love men, actually, Ian. I really do.
It isn't fair. There are more men prisons.
It's because they're more naughty men. Women haven't got the time.
Yes, but you know what it is? I think at this the time of the moment, all right. Men are confused. Women also expect too much of a man. They expect too much. They expect a man to be fantastic in bed 24/7.
24/7? No, I ain't got time for that.
I wish. I'm only joking.
You dirty
she's not.
Cow. Well, okay. Well, stay there because we're going to speak to a, in inverted commas, man next. But first of all, I want you, Catherine, as we
is
take
he the spokesman.
As you take a trip down memory lane, I want you to know, be quiet. Well, Lavinia, you can go first. Do you, as we celebrate some of the classic calls from yesteryear, do you recognize this voice? That's you, caller.
Who's that?
No, not you. The other caller. If you can hear me, then I'm talking to you.
Me.
Do you recognise that voice, Lavinia? The one that went, nay.
Oh, you just did the face. Is it?
No, I don't.
Try again. Say, give us another couple of words, caller, mystery man caller.
Some would call me bashful. No.
I still don't recognise it.
It's not one of the more. It's not one of the more famous callers. I mean, it's kind of
fringy,
very fringy, very hit and miss. Try
he's
again.
He's Irish.
Yeah,
he's Irish.
He's... I knew it. Yeah, go on,
Irish man.
Right.
Yep.
You weren't always best in school, but I certainly had you around the running track.
Do you recognise that voice, Lavinia?
No. I mean, it sounds like a woman now.
Doesn't it, actually? Maybe I've got this wrong. Maybe, are you a man or a woman, mystery caller?
I'm a red-blooded male.
Oh. Okay,
well,
I don't think...
You sound like a woman to me.
Well, you do sound like a fella, so it's very in at the moment, in the Q community. Okay, caller, nobody here has guessed who you are. Catherine, you don't know who it is, do you?
Yeah, I've got a good idea.
Okay, who do you want to suggest
that,
a name?
It's that chicken botherer.
Chicken botherer.
Can you give us a name, Catherine?
Babcock.
Babcock?
Babcock? What, Lavinia?
David Babcock.
David Badcock?
Never that's right, him. Lavinia. It's David Badcock. David, say hello to Lavinia.
Lavinia, I've never heard of you either.
Oh, hi, my lovely. How are you?
I'm out of breath.
Why?
Because I've been running up and down the stairs, silly.
Oh, that's good exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, what's your favourite dinner?
My favourite dinner is, I'm just trying to think, like, because I love everything and anything. My favourite dinner is, lobster. Lobster.
Ooh, you don't mind, lobster. Do you, Lavinia?
No.
The lady has expensive tastes.
Definitely. Definitely, my honey, bunny.
Ooh. Step back.
If a chap were to want to maybe wine and dine you,
yes.
Do you dress up nicely for it?
Definitely, definitely. I really go to town, actually. I just go to my wardrobe, and I just dress from head to toe. Totally. I love it.
Right, my sweet darling.
Sorry, my lovely?
Sorry.
What did you say, my lovely?
I said, right, my darling.
Yes.
On a first date, maybe kisses?
Not really, you know, because I like that to be another time, you know. I don't like to rush in.
You don't like to rush in like a big bus driving into a wall?
No, I like to keep them sort of dangling.
Oh. You're certainly getting me a bit more flustered as we speak.
Sorry, my lovely?
I said you're certainly getting me more flustered as we speak.
Oh, no, I don't think you would be
Ignore that. That's nothing. Ignore that. It's okay. I'm just doing some cleaning. Oh.
What's happening?
Okay, well, it sounds like you're getting married, Lavinia. And possibly really? Having a baby. Congratulations.
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. I'm looking forward to it.
Lavinia, thanks for your call.
Thank you, my lovely.
Listen, we're all going to calm down for a few seconds because that was very hot and sweaty. We'll find out what David and Jesse and what Penny have to say in a bit. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Look, Kath and I have watched half of this incredible TV special on Netflix. It's John Mulaney, who's an American comedian who I'm vaguely aware of.
Yeah.
I recognise the name. Certainly know the face. I've not seen any of his stand-up specials. But for some reason, and I refuse to ask to see less of it, for some reason Twitter, when I go to like my Twitter moments, it just gives me loads of American comedians, a lot of whom I don't know. And I've had some really good laughs looking at these comedians. And a few of them last week were banging on about John Mulaney's Sack Lunch Bunch special on Netflix. And me and Kath, sadly, we finished Love in Leeds. There are only 6 episodes. There's no real definite conclusion.
No, and you could think that there was an episode 7, having watched 6. It just didn't stop.
I got a feeling it didn't do very well, and Channel 4 went, nope, that's it. That's
stop
enough.
That now.
Silly.
Pack up your things.
So we were looking at what else to watch, and I saw that pop up on Netflix. I went, oh, this is supposed to be quite good. Let's give it a go. Oh, man, it's funny. It's funny. I don't quite know. I mean, it's... Okay, boil it down to its essence. It's a spoof of Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And those kind of 70s, it's kind of a bit of Mr. Rogers. It's that kind of vibe.
Well,
but
what
it's
is
not.
Is a youngish, childless man hanging out, of course, with a load of kids. What could possibly... I mean, that's what a lot of 70s shows were, weren't they?
Then
kind of like the uncle stroke big brother thing going on.
But it's funny and it's just the right side of dark.
And there are some songs in there that it is a shame
incredible.
Are restricted to a... 1.5-hour television special.
There's a great little sketch where it's this, like, all these adults in a living room and the mum saying, thanks for coming. Oh, by the way, my little daughter wants to do a little performance for you. So everybody is my little daughter. And all the adults just start talking amongst themselves and this kid's trying to do, like, a magic trick in a little play. And then she bursts into this kind of sort of the 79, 80s sort of alt-rock song about why won't you pay me any attention? And then David Byrne from Talking Heads joins in and she's got the big padded suit and they're both doing this weird choreographed dance. It's the best song Talking Heads never recorded. And it is, and David Byrne does it completely straight. And we just sat there going, my God, this is incredible.
Here's the other thing. The kids are really natural.
They're
not
really
stagey
good.
At all. Not, they're not doing that thing that makes sometimes child performances great.
I think
great,
a lot of it's scripted, but they're really
so
good actors.
They're so good.
Jake Gyllenhaal pops up in it. We've not seen that bit yet. I've just seen every time I Google it, his picture pops up. I mean, the bit when he, you know, I'm not, no spoilers, but there's a bit about the obit pictures for when a member of the cast dies. And he goes, oh, I've got one for all of you kids. We don't want to see it. And it's just, it's so, I mean, it's funny. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It's quite surreal, but not too surreal that you, you know.
Here's the thing. The joke isn't on the kids.
No, no, no. Really, really clever. Great music. And just Stephen Page, who we are big fans of, has just tweeted me because I've mentioned it going, Do Flowers Exist at Night is my favourite song of the past year. We've not got that far yet. We've had the Algebra song, the David Byrne song, which, do you know what? I might play after midnight. Out of context, you might lose some of it because the visuals are something. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. We'll see. It's so good. So that's my recommendation. Okay, I gave you Medical Police last week, which I did in about 3 days. And, that ends so satisfyingly. It really just gets so ridiculous and is... you know, the main terrorist guy, the FBI sort of come out, freeze. Oh, no, no, don't worry. He's apologized. He's a good guy now. Okay. You know, it's that kind of, it's wonderful. So that's my recommendation from 2 weeks ago. My recommendation this week, and Penny and Jessie, I will come to you in a second, I promise, is John Mulaney, Sack Lunch Bunch.
Also,
on Netflix.
The Taylor Swift.
This is what you've watched.
Yeah, documentary on Netflix. Netflix is great.
We say Netflix on this show. We've kind of...
I don't want to say it.
No, I know, but we have agreed...
For me, it's no hardship saying net.
We have agreed that we're carrying forwards towards the future.
Netflix.
We're going to have a commonality of all saying Netflix. Netflix. It's Netflix is what we're going to say. Well, then I won't let you talk about the Taylor Swift documentary.
It's really good.
Well, I'm not going to let you talk about it.
It's better than the Gaga one was rubbish, wasn't it, really?
Let you talk about it. David Babcock is still there, so I guess that means he didn't feel that he quite finished off with Lavinia. Oh, I didn't mean that to sound vulgar, by the way, but
good.
It did.
Good.
David.
A very structured call coming up.
Right. Why have you gone muffled now?
He's gone all muffled. As well as buying a crap computer, have you bought a crap phone?
I fixed it, I updated it, it works perfectly, and I'm after you.
Okay. David bought a computer, top of the range, one of the slickest, most top of the range computers you can get. How much did it cost, David?
£250.
And wow, from the pub, is it?
He was then surprised when it didn't work very well. He went, oh, it's worse than my old computer. It's laggy. It's all laggy. Can't open, then the browser it won't open.
When I boot it up and the fans kick in, it stinks of old fags.
Yes, mate.
Laugh it up, sponsor by.
Whoa. Well, tomorrow at 11, if I get up, I'm going to be streaming.
Okay.
Great.
You called David?
What can we do for you?
First of all...
B-word.
Would you like an earworm for potentially the next week?
Is this a song or an actual worm?
No, it's a song.
Okay,
go on then, yeah.
Sing a song, ding, 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 sing, sing a song of songs, ding, 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 sing.
You say chicken.
Sing it out, ding, 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 sing it, yeah. Anyway, that's Holly Holy by Neil Diamond.
Right, just hang on a minute, so what, I thought it was supposed to be an earworm.
Yeah, do you know the song?
Well, do you know the song, I think, is the more important question.
Well, if you know it, it's going to be an earworm for the next week now.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you've done. Could you sing it again?
Sing a song.
It doesn't go like that at all. It goes like this.
It does.
Sing a song.
Sing a song of songs. Sing it out. Sing it strong! Oh! Go on, David, sing it!
dancing the guitar part.
There's no bloody way.
It sounds like you're bloody doing Morse code, you Muppet.
I'm singing the live version, that's why.
All right.
Okay. I missed a bit where Neil Diamond went. Yes.
Should we stocked up on earbuds?
Sorry? What does that mean? That sounded a little bit. Here we go. He means this version.
Sing your song.
Sing your song. It does sound like him.
He's not going
Poor old Neil. Poor old Neil Diamond.
R.I.P.
Well, he's still alive, but...
Oh.
He just killed his song, though.
David.
My second part of my structured phone call.
Yes.
If there's any DJs, any Mixmaster stereo masters out there, I need some music making for me.
Okay, how much are you prepared to pay?
£10.
Okay, and what music do you want?
I can do an example. It's a theme tune for me.
Okay, away you go. If you sing it, someone might be able to help.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Boing, it's David Babcock. Boing, it's David Babcock. Boing, it's David Babcock. And that just on a loop.
Well, I can put that on a loop for you.
Are you all right?
I just want the theme tune, but I want a Mixmaster stereo professional to do it for.
Okay, all right, okay. And you're prepared to pay £10 for that?
£5.
You said 10.
I see your 10 and I lower you to 5.
Okay, David. Thank you very much for your call.
Night.
What an absolute idiot.
It's a very tempting offer.
Good evening, Penny.
Hello, Ian.
We've kept you waiting for so long, Penny. I can only apologise for that.
That's okay. Happy New Year.
No. How dare you? It's the 4th of February. What are you doing? Might as well wish me Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday for last June. No. I forbid no more HMYs.
Denied.
Denied. The Happy New Year is denied. It's not.
Okay, well.
That's the one.
My blessing or you can leave it.
I'm leaving.
He's going to leave it. I don't know. I just got the hint there. He didn't want it.
I'm leaving it on the floor.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.